Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. My name is Phil Strum. So happy you're here with me today. My guest is a Ring of Honor Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats in Ring of Honor. He'll be challenging Eddie Kingston for the Ring of Honor Championship at Supercard of Honor Friday, April 5th in Philadelphia. It's Mark Briscoe. We talk about everything you're going to want to know from Mark Briscoe. We talk about Ring of Honor. We talk about the amazing legacy of his tag team with his late brother, Jay. And what the future holds for him now as a singles wrestler, as he forges a completely new path in pro wrestling. So it's Mark Briscoe. You're going to have fun listening to this. So here we go with my interview with Mark Briscoe. So happy to be joined today by a Ring of Honor Hall of Famer, the man who will be challenging Eddie Kingston for the Ring of Honor Championship at Supercard of Honor, April 5th in Philadelphia on Honor Club. It's Mark Briscoe. Mark, welcome to Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. Thank you for being here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Very good. Before we get into wrestling, I want to ask you how you're doing, how your whole family's doing, and Jay's family and everybody else. How's everything?
Everything goes along much as it has. You know what I mean? Where it's Little League season starting up, so we got some kids playing Little League. Jamin's kids are cheerleading. His son is he's doing weightlifting for football in the fall. I mean, everybody, we're just rolling along, man, just rolling along.
Wow, that's great to hear that everybody's doing well. It was great to see his kids out with you when you were out there on Dynamite 2. I want to say, too, your eulogy for your brother was so full of love and humor and realness that I thought you did just a absolutely great job with that and in honoring him. Did you consider not stepping back in the ring after losing Jay?
That was my very first thought was I'm never wrestling again. But it didn't take long. It really didn't take long at all for me to kind of reconsider and change my mind there. Once I got thinking what he would want me to do, it was like, yeah, but I mean, my initial reaction was I'm never wrestling again. I don't ever want to wrestle again. And then, like I said, when I thought about what would he want me to do, it wasn't long at all. And I was like, all right, yeah, I can't not wrestle. I can't just quit at this point. I got to carry on for him, you know?
And it's kind of a totally different part of your career now. I followed your career all the way back to the Era of Honor Begins, so I've seen pretty much the whole thing. You know, and now you're a singles wrestler after, you know, that incredible run as a tag. You know, so what's different about this era of wrestling for Mark Briscoe?
I tell you, I'm actually having a lot of fun with it because it's like in the tag team ranks. You know, we had done everything that there was to be done, you know, and it got to the point where every so many years we would have a little feud with each other, and then we have a match against each other, and then we reunite as a tag team. But like we would branch off into singles stuff, and of course Jay, more successful than myself, he was a 2-time world champion, but we would branch off and do some single stuff back then, but it was always just everybody knew that that's the Briscoe brothers, that's the tag team, and you know, we did everything there was to do. We won titles all over the place, and you know, but now as being a strictly singles guy rather than just dabbling into the singles stuff, now as being a strictly singles guy, it's cool, man, because it's like, it's fresh. It's like something new. I mean, we never got tired of wrestling, and wrestling never got boring or old, but it's always fun to do new stuff. Now it's like, all right, Mark Briscoe starts his singles adventure and starts from the bottom. Obviously, I had my tag team career, and I give it an A+, 2 thumbs up. I'm happy with that. Now it's time to hopefully do the same thing in the singles arena, which, you know, I'm still a young man. I'm still, these kids, I blame the gray hairs on the kids, man. That's stress. That's not age. But now hopefully I want to do the same thing. And I know I got to start at the bottom and work my way up, just like we did tag team back in the year 2000 when we started wrestling and we're getting beat up by the Haas brothers. And it's like, start at the bottom, work your way up, same thing. I'm willing and I'm certainly able to start at the bottom where I'm starting, and I'm going to work my way all the way up. That's the game plan.
And you mentioned the kids there too. I believe it says on your Instagram, you're a father of 7 and soon to be 8. Is that right?
Number 8 is on the way.
Well, congratulations on that. How do you assess the match with Eddie Kingston? I gather that you've probably known Eddie for a long time. What have you thought of his run? I feel like he's somebody who fits stylistically perfectly against a guy like you. When did you first meet him, and what are your thoughts on this match?
I met Eddie. I mean, it was definitely more than 10 years ago. It had to be more like 15 years ago. But if I'm being honest, I'm real hype about this one because he's a fan of that, of the style that me and my brother, I feel like when we started wrestling back in 2000, and then in 2001, we had a match at CZW Best of the Best. Me versus Jay. And so when that match, we tried to blend styles of wrestling between lucha and then between like some ECW style, and then specifically the All Japan, Misawa, Kawada, Kobashi, Jun Akiyama, that style, the strong style, the King's Road style. That style is just something that Kingston prides himself on,
yep,
being an aficionado of that style. And that's the style that he likes to do. And that's, I mean, it just brings me back when me and my brother were watching when we first saw that kind of wrestling. We had bought the VHS tape at an ECW show from RF Video, and you buy the VHS tapes. There's no internet. There's no YouTube. There's none of that. There's not even DVDs yet. We're talking VHS tapes, and it has matches from around the world that none of us had ever seen before. And I feel like where we are here in the Northeast Independence, between Baltimore on up to Boston, and it's the same place. Kingston, he's a New York guy. We started our career in Wilmington, Delaware, which is basically Philadelphia. That's the outskirts of,
yep,
Philadelphia. So it's kind of, we're kind of like Philly bred. He's New York bred, but I feel like this whole region was gripped by that All Japan style, that King's Road style, that Misawa and Kobashi and Kawada, that style. And just, it's cool that it's come full circle from way back in the day when we were all first getting into it from the RF Video VHS tapes. And now it's like me and Kingston, two guys out of the Northeast, out of the Indies, who this is where the grind happened for me and for him. And now for us to face off in Philly on a big wrestling, the biggest wrestling weekend of the year, it's just cool, man. It's pretty cool.
I think he and you were probably renting or buying the same tapes probably around the same times too, because it's so similar to what his story and his background is too. It's just, and he's been able to kind of shed a light on that sort of era now too, even with his work, even getting to wrestle against Jun Akiyama on television. And then even the work he did, the Continental Classic, you were both part of that too. What was it like to see him prevail in that one?
Oh, that was, man, that was real cool. And I just thought it was so appropriate because, I mean, that's his the Continental Classic was kind of geared towards in the ring, like, and it wasn't necessarily the high speed style that is so popular when you look at some of the luchadors and then some guys that just have more of the high speed and real fast movement. That's not really what the Continental Classic style, that wasn't the flavor to it. In my opinion anyway, it was more heavy hitting. It was more slower pace and high drama. And that's what Kingston does. That's his, he's one of the best in the game at that style of wrestling. And so it's cool that he, him and Moxley, that was a great match in the finals there. And damn it, he was couldn't have happened to a better guy. But they lucky that I wasn't in the blue block. I'd have ran through him. I'm telling you, the gold block just didn't work with my chemistry. Next year we got this.
What would it mean to you to be Ring of Honor champion for the first time after 22 years in Ring of Honor?
It'd mean a lot, man. It'd be cool. It'd be, it's just Ring of Honor just from 2002 and the stages and the ages and the eras of Ring of Honor. It's like, it's amazing. Like the Ring of Honor world title, I don't think the Ring of Honor world title gets the credit it deserves for its significance in the history of professional wrestling. And it would be an honor. I mean, obviously it would be a total honor, and it'd be really cool, especially after being here from day one. And, singles gold has eluded me to this point, but I'm feeling real good about this. When I'm training hard, I got my mind right. I've been watching tapes. I've been studying Eddie. I know Eddie, and I know he's gonna try to bring it, but I got something for him. But yeah, it would mean a great deal.
I'm trying to think of if there have been many brother combinations that have held that title too. I was there in attendance when you had the big Briscoe celebration at the Hammerstein Ballroom. I think that was 2014, if I remember the year right. I know it was WrestleMania 29 weekend in New York City. So,
yeah.
But how would you? I remember too. I was going to point that out. I met you and your brother actually the media day before G1 Supercard, the last time things were in New York. Madison Square Garden. And you mentioned to me that day that Ring of Honor was kind of like an all-star team or an all-star game in sports kind of thing. What do you think about this Ring of Honor, and what also has it been like to be part of a different company in AEW at this point in your career?
Yeah, I tell you, the current Ring of Honor, the current era, the current iteration of Ring of Honor, I tell you, man, it's a sleeper more so than any other stage of Ring of Honor has ever been. And here's what I mean by that. The right now, the weekly, we're not on TV. We are on Honor Club. And Honor Club is an amazing service. Not only you get new weekly content, but you have access to the library. And I mean, just an amazing 20 plus year library of the some of the greatest wrestling ever. But so now the weekly show is not necessarily the focus. Hopefully, I'm hoping that Ring of Honor gets TV sooner than later, and that can be more of a focus. But if you look at the pay-per-views that Ring of Honor puts out nowadays, they're as good as any pay-per-views anywhere in the world of professional wrestling. The big shows that we're putting out that Ring of Honor – and I tell you, it was supposed to be me and Claudio back in the summertime. And I hurt my knee, had to get knee surgery. And, the Willow and Athena, is that who it was?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. That match was amazing. Just for those ladies to be able to step up and to be able to put on, in my opinion, one of the top five matches of the year. That's amazing to me. And the big shows, we've been just knocking it out of the park. And it's so that's moving forward, who knows what the future holds. It'd be awesome to see Ring of Honor on TV. But yeah. right now, don't sleep on Ring of Honor. I'm going to put it that way. Don't sleep on Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and I think some of the, catching up on some of the Honor Club shows too, like some of the shows for me are a little bit long at times, but at the same time, I generally will find a few sort of hidden gem kind of matches on there. So it's really an opportunity for some of the folks on even the AEW roster to sort of freshen up what they're doing and kind of get a different look to their career before maybe moving on to something else. Or, you know, ultimately, like you said, if Ring of Honor ends up part of a rights package for a TV deal, you know, it's exposure for everybody that's over there. And you may not even need to be moving back and forth between Ring of Honor and AEW if you're on every week. So, what is it like to work with Tony Khan? And, is there any other like unsung hero sort of guys in AEW, either behind the scenes or in the ring, that people don't think about?
Well, to work for Tony is an absolute pleasure. He's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in my life, and he's genuine and he's passionate, and I love that dude. Tony's the man. And as far as behind the scenes, I mean, there's so many hardworking people at AEW. I mean, it's hard to even start naming any. Because there's so many, and I don't want to leave anybody out. But it's such an awesome crew, and I think Tony, just talking about Tony specifically, I think his energy just kind of sets the tone for the whole company. I mean, it's a really, really awesome crew, some really awesome people. Tony, he's the man. He's, like I said, one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in my life. And he's just one of the coolest guys as well. But, it's just it's a really great work environment. It beats sitting at a desk. I tell you that much.
I mean, sitting at a desk isn't so bad.
Yeah, well,
I'm kind of doing it, right? It's actually a table that I'm at, but I like it when I get to do my wrestling stuff on the side. But anybody from Ring of Honor, like when you were there, I mean, you were what, 17 years old when you started in Ring of Honor, right? Yep. So is there anybody through the course of time who you would look at in Ring of Honor as sort of a mentor to you that really stood out?
I guess the first name that would come to mind would be Joe. And, we feuded with Joe back in the early 2000s. My brother and Samoa Joe had one of the best cage matches, in my opinion, in the history of professional wrestling. But
a lot of bloodshed. I was at that one in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Quite a bit of bloodshed in that one. But Joe would always beat us in singles competition, but no matter who his partner was, whether it was AJ Styles, Brian Danielson, Jerry Lynn, no matter who his partner was, we would always beat him in tag team competition. So that was kind of the flavor of the feud, which was pretty cool. But yeah, Joe, I mean, he's always been, I've always looked up to Joe, and I've always, taking his opinion, and his advice, his wisdom. I'm gonna go with Joe on that answer.
Yeah, current world champion. You could both be world champions soon too. You're pretty much
going first. I got something for his ass too. I got something for him. Just because I look up to him and admire him and put a high price on his wisdom, I still got something for him.
You're pretty much the only person in ROH who's been there nearly uninterrupted for the whole time. To you, what is the legacy of Ring of Honor?
Ring of Honor changed professional wrestling. Ring of Honor brought professional wrestling into the current age of what professional wrestling is. The between the ropes, the style of pro wrestling matches nowadays, I really feel the evolution. I really feel that ECW, Extreme Championship Wrestling, was one of the most pivotal places where the in-ring style of professional wrestling was changed and was was innovated and where it evolved from ECW, I really honestly feel like it went to Ring of Honor. And that was, like we talked back in the day, the independent wrestling all-star game at first. And it just, when ECW got absorbed by WWF, WWE, I feel like the spirit of ECW, when it came to in-ring work, I think Ring of Honor got, that's where that went. But then when it came to the extreme side of ECW, the hardcore stuff, there was like CZW, which was also, we're all right here, like in Philly, South Jersey area. We're right in the same area, but I feel like the spirit of ECW went like CZW for the hardcore stuff and Ring of Honor for the work rate and for the high quality in-ring action. But yeah, I just think that's where Ring of Honor started changing the game in the first 10 years or first however many years, maybe 8 to 10 years, was just the revolutionary changing professional wrestling inside the ring. And then from there, it's just the legacy of who has held Ring of Honor titles, who has been, who's the top guys in wrestling.
Yeah.
So many have come through Ring of Honor, and it's just like, you know, wrestling wouldn't be what wrestling is without Ring of Honor. And I think that that's important that everybody realizes that.
And even you look at the longevity of it too, of the performers. Now, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, you got yourself, you got Samoa Joe, you got Christopher Daniels still out there doing his thing. Matt Sydal still out there doing his thing. And then over in WWE, you've got CM Punk, you got AJ Styles, you got Generico, Kevin Steen, Tyler Black, you know, all guys. Like, it was, it's incredible the long, you know, the long-term success of so many people that were able to then take that kind of skill, not to mention Claudio too. I almost forgot about Claudio. But, you know, just being able to bring that style to a larger audience, both in WWE and in AEW now. And it's pretty clear. I don't think I realized it at the time, but it's like this was the trend setting promotion, whether people understood it or not.
Yeah. You know,
when it was actually happening.
Yeah. It was like that class, you know, like there's like the class of 03, class of 04, like the current class of wrestlers, we all kind of were there kind of at the same time, generally speaking. It really is cool now that you mention it like that, how that group has spread and has just made such an impact.
Yeah. Is there anyone in AEW who you haven't mixed it up with yet who you'd like to?
Well, yeah. I mean, pretty much everybody who I haven't mixed it up with yet. I mean, you know, there's, you know, whoever, Darby, Sammy, Jericho. I mean, I got to fight Moxley in the Classic, so that was big there. I tell you, me and Brian Danielson have wrestled multiple times, but never one-on-one. I mean, that's got to go down at some point. Yeah, I mean, shoot, any and all. Where MJF been at? I mean, I ain't heard what's up with him, but he, you know, come back. I'd love to get in there with old Max. I mean, you name them, and I'd be happy. I would, if I haven't wrestled them, then I definitely want to wrestle them.
What did the trilogy of matches with FTR mean to you, and did that legitimately bring you closer to those guys?
Oh man, as far as becoming closer, like we're like brothers now, but I definitely give the credit of that, to having that, having those matches together. But, oh yeah, I mean, those matches were special. And I mean, especially after, you know, once the accident happened, it was like in hindsight, it was even more special because, you know, it's crazy as, you know, we started out guns blazing on the indies and then Ring of Honor was part of the Indies. And then when Sinclair Broadcasting bought Ring of Honor, they signed us to exclusive deals. And it was like, I mean, it was great because we were making a lot of money. It was great, but we didn't get to wrestle here and there and everywhere. So we kind of settled down as far as that goes till Sinclair Broadcasting announced that they were closing up shop. And we got to go anywhere and everywhere. And so 2022, like me and Jamin used to call it the guns blazing tour, because we were back wherever we wanted to wrestle, we could wrestle. And I mean, we was gone every weekend there for months at a time. And I mean, sometimes we'd have an indie date on the West Coast on Friday, and then we'd fly to North Carolina for a show on Saturday, and then drive up to Virginia on Sunday. I mean, we were just here, there, all over the place. And it was very much like back in the day. So like we said, it was the Guns Blazing Tour. And then the Tony buys Ring of Honor, which is amazing. And then he announces Briscoe's versus FTR at Supercard. And we had already talked so much. I'm sorry. We had already talked so much noise. And so the match was already built up and people already wanted to see it. And, I mean, it was a magical, it was one of the matches where it just did it. When we were done, it felt like a dream. It was like, whoa, that was crazy. It was just like a magical moment that people are electric. Like you can't ask for anything more. And then next thing you know, we're announced to have a 2 out of 3 falls match in the summertime at the pay-per-view. And I mean, we knocked that one out of the park, and it's just like two matches in a row that are just career defining caliber matches. And then to finish up with a dog collar match, pro wrestling is pro wrestling. You win some, you lose some. As long as you make it to the pay window, that's all that really matters. But it was just how they beat us once, they beat us twice, and then we win the grand finale. And Jay Briscoe is like he was born for that moment. Like, just covered in blood, holding the belts up high, dog collar around his neck. It's like, and then a month later, it's like he's gone. It's like, wow, like that's like such a, like, what a fitting conclusion. Yeah. It's like bittersweet. It's like,
What a great final match too. One thing I liked to hear about, around the time that we lost Jay, was just how much he had grown and how much he had learned from some of the regrettable things that he said prior that cost him, some opportunities, and how he wanted to learn about people's differences and grow from that. Did you feel good that people kind of got to learn that about your brother around that time?
Oh man, that was, it's, yes, because he was, I mean, he felt so bad after he had done that, after he had made that comment, and mainly because he didn't realize how hurtful and how hateful he was being. He was just like, he was so, Jay Briscoe was just a character. Jay Briscoe wasn't real. So Jay Briscoe could say things that Jamin Pugh couldn't say. But he even told me that. He's like, man, take that as mess. I shouldn't have said that. If it's just weird. He was so mixed up in his emotions. But then I just noticed how he moved forward with his life and his relationships and his conversations and whatnot. And it was amazing, just his growth and his, just, I don't know what you call it, self-discovery, but it was really good that came to light, because it would have been, it couldn't have been so that people thought that he was a horrible person, as good of a person as he was. Like, it just couldn't have, there's no way that just couldn't be. You know what I mean? He was such a good dude and had such a good heart that it, there's no way that he could just, his lasting legacy could be one of hate when he was, when that's not at all who he was.
Very good. We're going to move on to something we call the three count now. It's going to be three quick questions and your answers. First question, it's been said many times over the years that there was an IQ test at some point in ROH and that Mark Briscoe scored very highly on that. How smart is Mark Briscoe?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I know a thing or two about some stuff, but there's some stuff that I'm clueless about.
That's a good answer. Second question, if you and your brother could have faced any tag team combination in history that you never did, who would it be and why?
I want to say Steiners.
What would that have been like?
Oh, man, amazing. I mean, they were just always so amped up. I feel like that's kind of the same thing that we had going for us. Now, you know, there's so many other teams that would be great too, but I mean, just they would get in the ring and go. So I'm gonna say Mark and Jay Briscoe versus Scotty and Rick Steiner.
And then the last question, I mentioned earlier, your Instagram says you're a father of 7, soon to be 8. I loved seeing on Amanda Huber's social media when her sons were just sort of mixed into the whole Briscoe children group at a wrestling show at one point. What is the atmosphere in a Briscoe family section at a wrestling show?
Oh, it's electric. It's electric. They're the craziest, wildest folks in there, and it depends on who's rooting for who and who's yelling what. They might get fighting. You don't ever know. But, they're always happy to be there. And, hey, not too far from Philly, so we're going to have a crew up there. So it's going to be fun.
Very, very good. Mark Briscoe facing Eddie Kingston for the Ring of Honor Championship, Supercard of Honor, Friday, April 5th in Philadelphia on Honor Club. Mark, thank you so much for this today. I've really appreciated the time, really appreciated catching up with you, and all the best to you in your career and your life and everything you got moving forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I will.
Thanks again, everyone, for joining me today on Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. I'd like to thank Mark Briscoe for joining me today. I'd also like to thank John Schneider from All Elite Wrestling for setting this up. Follow me on Twitter at Under the Ring for all the latest guest announcements, and have a great week, everyone.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.